2. Matthew chapter number 2. I like that song. We should never lose the excitement or the amazement that God chooses and is interested in spending the day with us, that the God of the universe allows us to develop and maintain a relationship with Him, even grow closer and closer to Him. And this idea of that we've been talking about in our series about pursuing after God or the pursuit of God, it's this idea of having a craving, a greater desire to want to know Him better, to want to understand Him better, to want to love Him better. And tonight we're going to look at it. We're even going to put a little bit of a Christmas spin on it because of the fact that this week's message was about seeking after God. And so we're going to talk about seeking Christ at Christmas. Seeking Christ at Christmas. The Bible gives us some wonderful promises to those that are willing to seek after God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now, the Bible is saying that you are going to be rewarded if you seek after God. What is that reward? I believe that reward is entering into a greater fellowship with God and a greater knowledge of Him and a greater love, and He'll be able to bless you as you learn of Him and understand Him. He'll be able to use you in a greater way. He will reward you. But key is there, diligently seeking after Him. This pursuit of God is not something that, hey, I can pick up one day and leave another day and pick up another day and leave another day. It's not that type of pursuit if we want to be successful. Now, we must learn also to try to think after those that we are pursuing. I know that I'm not trying to compare to God to a evil criminal mind, because that would be the wrong type of illustration, but the police officers, many times nowadays, they had to try to think like the criminal to be able to find and pursue after them. I'm sure that probably some of you have seen TV shows that they try to get into the mind of the criminal and try to figure out what exactly is going on. And as they try to figure it out, they try to get into the mind. But you know what the Bible says? We don't have to worry to go into those demonic or demented minds. We can have the mind of Christ in our mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And here, we need to learn how to seek after God if we really want the mind of God in our hearts and our lives. Deuteronomy 4:29 speaks about finding Him. It says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Have you ever felt like God's not there? You ever felt like the portion and time in your life where things have gone wrong and gone haywire, and that you're just struggling and you just wish that you could find, that you could hear, that you could see God moving in your heart and life? The Bible tells us, whether we're going to believe our feelings versus believing the Bible, the Word of God says that we will find Him if we will diligently seek after Him. We will find Him if we seek after Him with all our heart and with all our soul. Bible also says in Luke 11:10, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now, here's the idea here is that if we're going to pursue after God, we're going to have to seek after Him. We're going to have to do some work. We're going to have to put some feet to our faith, and we're going to have to seek after the Lord. Acts 17:27, "That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us." If we're a believer, if we're a Christian tonight, God is not far from us. He is able, like we talked about last Sunday morning, but He is also available. He is as close to us as our fingers are to our hands. He is just a breath away. He is there. And we have to seek after Him if we want to find Him. In our pursuit for God, if it's lacking, it's because we don't seek after Him. We're not searching for Him. We're not desiring to know Him as greatly as we could. Now here, in this story about the wise men, there is three different places I think we can look. If we're truly seeking after God, there's three different places that we can look at and we can look into. And if we want to pursue after God, there's three different places that the wise men looked into and sought God from. And there's three different things I think we can seek into. I know you said, "Pastor, it's December 1st, and you're preaching a sermon about Christmas again. I sure am. I like Christmas. And like I said, Brother Thurman will be here next week with us. So there's a couple things I'd like to have in our hearts and minds to get established this Christmas season. If we're going to pursue after God, we're not going to be able to put them on the shelf. We're not going to be able to backtrack the things that we've already learned and the decisions we already made and how we've made progress maybe in our Christian walk. We're not going to be able to put them on the shelf till Christmas is over. Instead, we need to see the time and understand the reason for the season and pursue after Him even greater during this period of time. Like we learned about this morning, we can rejoice because we knew He came. I know Christmas is a melee of feelings, a melee of emotions, and there's a huge amount of things going on in people's hearts and life, but no matter what happens, like we learned from Habakkuk last Sunday morning, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. We can rejoice because He came. And if we seek after God and we search for God, He says we will find Him. This Christmas season, amongst all the rituals, amongst all the decorations, amongst all the commercialism, all those different things, we can find God. That's what we should be pursuing. Let's look here in this story about these wise men that come, and these wise men that come seeking after Christ. And they found Christ in Christmas. Here in Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews?'" Now we mentioned that this morning, the wise men were not seeking a prince, and usually when a child is born, he is the prince. But these wise men knew who they were seeking. It was the King of the Jews. "For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." They had a plan. They were going to worship him. They were seeking after him to worship him. "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Verse number 12, "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask the Lord's help tonight in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us. Lord, I pray you speak to people's heart. Lord, we are a needy people. Lord, there are so many things in our hearts and lives that only that you can fill. There's that spot in our heart that many times we try to fill with so many other things. And God, help us to realize and understand that you are the only thing that can fill that spot. Lord, I pray that we pursue after you. We search for you. We seek diligently after you. Lord, so we can have and find you and be at a greater understanding of who you are. Lord, encourage us once again tonight. Help us to see you in the heavens. Help us to see you in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, just a couple myths here about the wise men story, and you can argue with me if you want to about this, and I won't argue back, but you know, here you got the story, and it's the Christmas story that there's three wise men that traveled and there was only three of them, and we hear that because, you know, the song "We Three Kings," and we hear that because there was three different gifts. We don't really know how many wise men were there. We do not know how big the group was and how big the party was that entered into Jerusalem, that called Jerusalem to be afraid. I do think there was more than three to make that long travel. To be honest with you, to make that long travel, it would have had been very dangerous for only three of them, especially when they're carrying these precious gifts in that day and time period. Me personally, I think it was a caravan that traveled many, many months, maybe even to the point of 2 years. Because when he came and King Herod said, when did you seek after him? And they said, and King Herod goes and kills all the children 2 years and younger. Now, that's the other thing where people think that the wise men, they have the picture in there about the nativity scene, and you got the shepherds, and you got Mary, and you got the baby, you got Joseph, you got the three wise men. Now, I know that irks some people. They say, oh, those wise men shouldn't be there. I'll just leave it alone. It's, you know better. It's okay. They're just coming there to worship them too, so it's okay. But it's the thought here is that they were probably not there. It says they entered into the house, you saw in verse number 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child. They didn't say when they entered into the manger, they saw the babe. So I think there, it wasn't at that moment in time. I know many of you have heard me make that idea and those thoughts before, but just to give you a little background there, help you study some things out there when it comes to the Bible. Now, so okay, Pastor, you said, three places we can seek Christ in Christmas. First thing I want you to see is seeking Christ in Christmas by looking to the sky. Seeking Christ in Christmas by looking to the sky or looking heavenly. Here in the Bible says, in verse number 2, he says, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. The wise men began their search when they saw the star. You say, Pastor, what does that have to do with us? If we keep our eyes focused on the things above instead of the things below, we are going to be able to seek Christ this Christmas. They were not satisfied with looking at things at the earth. They were not satisfied with staying where they were at. When they saw the star, when they understood what that star represented, they left everything behind. Maybe their reputations, maybe their families, maybe a well-paying job, maybe all those things. They left all that behind to seek after God, to seek after the God child, Jesus Christ, and the babe in the manger. They were not satisfied with looking at earthly things. Something in the sky got their attention. They were not so tied with the earthly things that they missed what was going on in heaven. And many times this is where we miss our seeking after God. We are so tied to the things of this world that we miss the God of heaven that says he can be found if we will seek after him. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 puts it very well when it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Doesn't say that seek those things below. Instead, the Bible says, love not the things of the world. It's completely contradictory to what the Word of God teaches us. It says to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above. Not only are we supposed to seek after it, we're supposed to set our affections. Not only is our eyes and our heads supposed to be focused on God in heaven, our affections, our desires, our love is supposed to be on those things that are in heaven. Now, I don't want you to become so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good to the work of God. I think that you can become so focused and wondering about all those things in the future that you don't serve down here. That's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible's saying is that you see Christ at the right hand of the throne of God, and that should inspire us to work. The author and finisher of our faith, who did the work that God set before him, and that's the work that we need to set, he has set before us. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now here's the idea is that God is saying that ye are dead. What is that referring to? That's our flesh. We spend a lot of time going over our flesh. We spend a lot of time about mortifying our flesh and dying to self. And we lurked at that, and we helped understand it. And the Bible's saying here, the reason why we should set our affections on things above and not on the earth is for ye are dead. Your life is hid in Christ now. And that's where our affections are supposed to be. And if we want to seek Christ this Christmas, if we really truly want to could pursue and seek after God, we must keep our eyes focused on heaven and on the things of heaven more than the things of this world. If we're not careful, all of our attention can be focused on the daily physical issues of life. And that is so true, especially this time of year. It can be focused doing good things. You can go out and go Christmas caroling. You can go out and help the needy. You can go out and do a whole list of things that would be considered Christian work. But if you do not seek after God and you do not search for God in this time and in this midst, you miss the whole point of why you're serving. Don't be focused on the things of this world. Focus on God and allow God to take care of the rest. As believers, this world is not our home. I don't know why we get so attached to it. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying all high and mighty, and I never get attached to it. It's something we need to fight against. It's easy to get attached to because our flesh desires it. But this world is not our home. We have to live here. There are things here that we must do and give attention to physically, but we must allow heaven to control our lives, control our thinking. And our worldview should be lived properly by being Christ-centered and wanting to please Him. So the first thing to seek Christ in Christmas is by looking upward or looking in the sky. The wise men saw this star, and the wise men sought after the star. They didn't let the things of this, and I'm sure there was positions, there was jobs, there was finances. Everyone has responsibilities, and instead they took off on this track, this journey that probably lasted over a year, many, many miles, very, very dangerous, probably great expense to seek after God. They were willing to do it because they were seeking something heavenly. What about Abraham? He left his home. He said he was looking for a city. Yes, sir. The builder and maker was God. That's what his affections were on. It was God. He sought after Him. Second thing, not only seeking Christ in Christmas by looking upward, seeking Christ in Christmas by looking into Scripture. Seeking Christ in Christmas by looking into Scripture. You say, how in the world did they know about the star? It's because they were wise men. No, that's not just it. It's because they must have painstakingly looked for the Scriptures. They must have studied the Scriptures. And how did they know about the east tied to the star, this phenomenon with Jesus being born to the Jews? These men must have taken time. And you look and you search the Old Testament. This is the Scripture that is most likely that they used. The logical thought here is, in Numbers chapter 24:17 says, I shall see Him, but not now. I shall behold Him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheph. Now, here's the idea. From this passage of Scripture and this star, God Himself must have spoke to him and says, that's the star you read about. Now, I don't know why they didn't know where he was going to be born at, because the Old Testament tells us he was born of a virgin. Daniel speaks of the times of his coming. Micah spoke of the city of his birth. Perhaps they did not have all the writings, all the sacred writings. They were in Judah. They were in Israel. But these wise men knew this picture and this story, and they sought after what they considered to be the Word of God. Now, not only did they seek after it, they responded to it. Here's the difference. Most of you come to church at least once a week. You're here on a Sunday night, so you're at least probably good for twice a week. I know most of you come four times a week. You hear the Word of God preached. You hear the Word of God given over and over in different forms, in different ways. Doctrine taught to us through songs, through the reading of the Bible. But these wise men responded to the Scriptures. See, if we really truly want to seek Christ this Christmas, we should look in the Word of God. This is what this wise men did. They sought out the Scripture, and they went and they sought out Christ because of what the Scripture said. And these Scriptures, they responded, not only did they seek it out, they believed in it, and they responded to what was written, and it brought them to Jesus. They believed, and they responded, and it brought them right to Jesus. There's a difference between hearing and doing. There's a difference between learning and acting upon what you've learned. They responded. And this is a spot where so many Christians just fall flat on their face in their pursuit for God. We like this idea. We like the story. We like the thought of pursuing after God and pursuing after Him hard. We like the idea and thought of entering into a better relationship. We like reading when the Davids talk about how his soul longed for God and how he yearned for Him and how he desired for Him and how a deer panted for the water, how everything was a desire to know God better. That was what his life was. But do we respond to the preaching and the teaching of His Word? Do we take to heart the challenges that are given. Here, we need to seek Christ by looking upward, but we need to seek Christ in the Scriptures. And this is hard because of the fact our flesh wants to do its own thing. Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 52, "Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out his treasure things new and old." There's treasure found in the Word of God. And it's our job to seek after God and bring out this treasure. Now, how do we apply that today? Well, you think what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." This past Saturday, our thought of God for the week or the day was supposed to be in the fact that God's willing to direct our paths. The thought for today was trusting in God. And that's what this passage of Scripture is referring to, is that we should not lean to our own understanding. Our flesh wants to go one way, and God wants to go us to go another way. And we got to say no to the flesh and yes to God. The Bible says that in the days that there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That our flesh wants to do what they consider is right. But if we truly want to seek Christ this Christmas, we must dismiss every thought that we have when it comes to our flesh and say, even though it might be unnatural, even though it might be unnormal, says, this is not biblical, this is not right, I am turning from that and I'm turning to God's ways. I'm not leaning to my own understanding. I'm acknowledging him in all my ways. I'm allowing him to direct my path. And how do you get there? It's from the Word of God. But the Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You know how many people I've heard say, "Pastor, this just is so natural. It's right. It seems right. I don't see what's so wrong with it." If the Word of God says it's wrong, then it's wrong. We must learn to acknowledge God in all our ways. Doesn't matter how we feel. It matters what God's Word says. It says, "Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." The Bible says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered." Proverbs 4:7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." So say, how do I apply that to today? Well, if I'm going to seek Christ this Christmas, I'm going to have to look past all of our traditions. Even if they're not biblical, I'm going to have to look past giving up certain things that maybe I enjoy, if they're things that are not honoring to God. And I'm going to have to focus on God. Now, I'm not saying that you can't enjoy the things. I enjoy the festivities of Christmas. I enjoy your Christmas cantatas. I enjoy decorations. I enjoy eating. Amen, right? We all enjoy eating. Most of us enjoy eating. Some of us enjoy eating more than others. That's me. I enjoy all the different things that go along with this time because it's wrapped around a celebration of the fact that Jesus Christ came. But when we get our eyes focused off of that, that's when we need to look at the Word of God and seek wisdom for it. Now, how can we seek Christ this Christmas? Number one is by looking upward. Number two is by looking into his Word. And thirdly is seeking Christ in Christmas by looking beyond those that scoff. Seeking Christ in Christmas by looking beyond those that scoff. Now, here's the thought. You know, the devil will do whatever he can to stop your pursuit for God. The devil will do whatever he can. He will send people in your way to just challenge you and try to criticize you and to try to make you not to want to seek after Christ this Christmas. That he will do whatever he can to stop your relationship with God. He does not want you to grow closer to God. He does not want you to seek after God. He does not want you to focus on God this Christmas and Christ this Christmas, because he knows the difference you can make in other people's lives when we pursue after God and when we seek after God. He is trying to do everything he can to stop. And it is amazing. Isn't it amazing how how the devil has taken these holidays? One is supposed to be giving thanksgiving for God, and then they start shopping at 6 o'clock Thanksgiving Day. Now, I know I was out there shopping because I enjoy getting the good deals. But he's taken these things, and he's turned it around and take something that you're supposed to be thankful for and made it a whole day that's full of greed. You ever been out there? Some people are fighting for things. And you see the commercials, and you see those little news clips. You know, people were getting beat up for a toaster or for sheets or towels, it's crazy. You know, that's what he's done with Thanksgiving. And then you think about Christmas. He's taking Christmas, the day when Christ is supposed to be born, as like he gives, it's supposed to be a birthday party for God, and everybody else gets a present but him. Right. Everybody else is the center of attention but him. The devil is very good at what he does. We need to look past those that scoff. You know, you need to look past those that hate God and says, well, I don't think you should have to be allowed to say Christmas. I don't think you should be allowed to have a nativity scene. I don't think, you know what? It doesn't matter what they think. Let's think what God thinks. That's what's important. And we need to tell people Merry Christmas, and we don't need to feel bad about it. And we don't need to have to replace it with Happy Holidays to try to make other people sensitive to it. It is Christ. It's the reason for the season. It's Christmas. This is the reason why it's there. There would be no Christmas if he never came. There would be no celebration. And we must learn to look past those that are scoffing, because you will meet people who will scoff at you if you consider coming to Christmas Eve instead of coming to dinner at their house. You'll meet people who scoff at you when you give up certain things to be able to be a blessing to somebody else. You'll meet people who will scoff at you when you celebrate and when you worship Jesus Christ and the time he deserves to be worshiped at all times. But the day that is centered aside to worship the fact he came, you'll meet those that scoff at that. And that's what you have in this story. You have people who scoffed at it. Think about it. Herod responded in anger. In verse number 3, he says, and when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled. The Bible tells us that he was troubled. This word troubled means he was stirred up. He felt threatened by the fact that the Messiah would come to power. He sought out more information from the scribes. And there are people like this in the world, like Herod, who just hate God. They know he exists. They know and they hate his righteousness and his holiness. They scoff at those that believe. They don't mind if we have church. Remember, Herod did not care if the things that their religious rituals that were going on, he did not bother him. But when it came to impact him, he wanted nothing to do with it. They don't mind if you have church. They don't mind if you keep your faith inside your neat little parameters of home and personal lives. However, when our faith is real and expands to areas of all our lives and shares our faith in our everyday living, the scoffers begin to hate that.
Yes, sir.
Now, if they don't believe in God, why would they care if someone said Merry Christmas? That's because they hate our God and they hate the things of God. They allowed the flesh. And that's why we cannot let people steal away the time where Christ deserves to be honored.
Right.
Now, I think it's important that if we're going to truly see Christ in this Christmas, we must look beyond those that are scoffers. We must look beyond saying that Christmas is not about Christ anymore. Not only was it Herod that responded in anger, think about the religious leaders responded with indifference. The religious leaders responded with indifference. Verse number 4, and when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem in Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. When the religious leaders were summoned, they gave them the answer. He's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. And you know what? They got the information, and the wise men went to Bethlehem to seek out God. But you know, if these are supposed to be the religious leaders of the day, wouldn't you think that if the Messiah was being born, that they would travel also? They were being indifferent. They did not care about the Messiah. They did not want their comfortable life to be messed with. And so many times, religious people, even religious leaders of today, that tells us that we should be more tolerant of the other faiths and tolerant of the other people and other people's views, even if it calls to be a smack in the face of the God of the Bible. You know what? It's because they do not want to be bothered in their comfortable living and their religious practice. Now, these were truly people seeking after God. They would say, you saw the star? They'd be up there looking for the star. Now, I like to speculate. You like to put your Bible imagination on. But you know what? You remember John the Baptist when he was born? It talked about how his birth was talked about throughout all the lands after his dad's tongue was loosed. And then also, you couldn't imagine that Mary, who was an unwed mother, who says this was a miraculous birth, that might have even came to these scribes and religious leaders' ears. Because if this came and happened after the shepherds had went all throughout Bethlehem and telling about the angels singing, don't you think that they would have found this information out? Don't you would think that these wise men showing up from the east, following the star, end up in Jerusalem, that if these people had any interest, any desire for serving and worshiping God, that they would have got on their horses, their donkeys, or their chariots, and they would have followed the wise men till they found Jesus Christ. But you know what? They didn't want to be bothered. And the truth is, if we're going to seek Christ this year, during Christmas, there's going to be people we have to just look past. And some of them are going to be our family that claim to be Christians. Some might even be some backslidden Christians. Some might be even people in the church that says, oh, you're just too zealous. You got to look past those that are going to scoff. Because if you're going to be seeking after God, the devil's going to send whoever and whatever in your heart and life to try to stop you. Try to stop you from seeking after him this year. Third thing is the city responded with fear. You see, it says here that they responded with fear in verse number 3, when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Part of the reason why I think that there was more than three of them was because why would the whole city be troubled? I think that this great entourage of people entered into the city and people were fearful why they were there. And Herod was troubled. And they knew that Herod was troubled. He was ruthless and bloodthirsty. This is obviously the response that we see when he goes and kills the children, that are the boys that are 2 and younger, when the wise men shun him. They understood that if Herod stirred up, it meant trouble. Our world is like that today. Our world would rather live comfortably and be undisturbed than to tell people about Jesus Christ. We got to look past those that are scoffing and says, well, this just isn't the time. Didn't we learn about that in Sunday school this morning in Haggai? You know, when that spot in time, they talked about how their houses were built up and they didn't build the house of God. They just said, it's not the right time. It is not the time. And they made up an excuse that says, it's not the time to build the house of God. And so many people make up an excuse. They respond with fear, and they said, because of the opposition that we are facing, it's not the time that we should tell people about Jesus Christ. But that is the complete opposite. That is a lie from the devil. This is the time. This is the opportunity. When things become so dark, we need to shine as a greater light. We need to give out the gospel. This is the time where we can seek Christ in Christmas by looking heavenly, by looking in his word, and looking beyond those that are scoffing. When you tell someone Merry Christmas, or when you hand them a gospel tract, or when you say you're praying for them, they laugh and scoff at you. You're not seeking their approval. You're not seeking to win their acceptance. You're seeking Christ this year in Christmas. If we're going to pursue after God, the devil's going to do whatever he can to stop you. And we must learn that if we're going to truly seek after him, it's going to take a little bit of work. Those wise men traveled, I believe, months, maybe over a year. Great expense. Leaving many things behind to seek after God. They kept their eyes focused heavenly. They didn't look at their fleshly desires. They didn't look at the things of the world. They kept their eyes focused on the Bible. If we truly want to seek after God this Christmas season, our eyes got to be focused on that. Last but not least, we got to look past those that are going to scoff at us. You know, this idea of getting a day and looking at a characteristic of God every day all the way through the beginning of the year. Some people probably scoffed at that. Some people said, oh, that's just stupid. And the idea of being grateful for somebody else and writing a thank you note and letting God work in your heart and your mind. Some people might scoff at that. But you know, we need to look past those things, past those people that are scoffing, and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The world is not going to stand up and cheer for you if you try to live for God. They're not going to pat you on the back. They're not going to say, here, let me help you. Your church family? Yes, they're supposed to. But sometimes there are going to be some that are indifferent. Sometimes there are going to be some, and even though you have a whole church full of people that are encouraging you along, cheering you along, being a fellow laborer with God and trying to encourage you, and then you've got one that is mean to you or nasty to you or has a problem with you, you let that one discourage you. You got to look past those that scoff at you and live for him. Live for him. Give your life for him. We need to pursue after God. Tonight, let us seek Christ in Christmas. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's go ahead and raise to our feet for a time of invitation.